smakkaleya dyasa samalena. Adadi upatiya tadubake. Mothers, na santi jirte yudachari ratita. Please repeat. Na,
na.
Not.
Na.
Santi,
na.
There are.
There are.
Tirte,
tirte,
in holy places,
where charity is given.
Yudhi,
in the battlefield.
Cha,
cha,
also.
Also.
Artina,
Artina,
by a Brahmana or a Kshatriya.
Artita,
who have been asked.
Paranmukha,
who refused their prayers.
Yay,
such persons.
To
indeed.
Amanasvinaha,
such low-minded, low-grade
kings.
Nripa, O king,
Bali Maharaj.
Yusmat Kule,
in your dynasty,
yat,
therein,
yasasa amalena, by impeccable reputation,
praradaha,
Prahlad Maharaj,
udpati,
arises,
yata,
as,
udupa,
the moon,
K,
in the sky. Translation. O King Bali, never in your dynasty has the low-minded king been born, who upon being requested has refused charity to brahmanas in holy places, or a fight to kshatriyas on the battlefield. And your dynasty is even more glorious due to the presence of Prahlad Maharaj, who is like the beautiful moon in the sky. Please repeat. O King Bali,
O King Bali,
never in your dynasty
has
the low-minded king been born,
who upon being requested
has refused charity to brahmanas in holy places or a fight to kshatriyas on the battlefield. And your dynasty is even more glorious due to the presence of Prahlad Maharaj, who is like the beautiful moon in the sky. Purport by His Divine Grace, ISKCON Founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada Ki Jai. The symptoms of a kshatriya are given in Bhagavad Gita. One of the qualifications is the willingness to give charity, dan. A kshatriya does not refuse to give charity when requested by a brahmana, nor can he refuse to fight another kshatriya. A king who does refuse is called low-minded. In the dynasty of Bali Maharaj, there were no such low-minded kings. Om Agyanata Nirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshul Unmilitam Gyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj tells a story when they were traveling with Srila Prabhupada in Surat in the early days. There's a group of devotees making life members and preaching Krishna consciousness in Gujarat. Is that all right?
Yeah.
So, Srila Prabhupada was in the home of one wealthy gentleman in Surat. The devotees had stayed, and he'd given them prasadam, and he'd given accommodation in his big home. And now they were sitting, and Prabhupada was sitting at the end of a table, and this gentleman was sitting at the end, and the devotees were there, and they were attempting to make this gentleman a life member. So in those days, and still today, when someone becomes a life member, they would receive some books. So Prabhupada was explaining to this gentleman, who was the head of this house, about the books, talking about Srimad Bhagavatam and the different literature that he'd translated. And the gentleman said, "Actually, Swamiji, I have these books in Hindi. I have the Bhagavatam and the translation and commentary in Hindi." And Giriraj Maharaj says Prabhupada became very stern, and he said, "I am not a book salesman. I am a beggar who has come standing outside your door." And the man was like, all of a sudden, yes, Swamiji, of course we'll become your life member. Yes, of course, yes, we will become your life member. Yes, no problem. Because it was very intense. But such a powerful statement. Prabhupada is saying, "I'm a beggar standing outside your door." But this does not reduce the glory of Prabhupada. When we hear this story, it's so wonderful. It's actually, it strengthens our conception of Srila Prabhupada. There's no reduction. When Prabhupada's saying, "I'm a beggar standing outside your door," this immediately made this gentleman realize that this is actually a sadhu. Yes, this is actually, he's coming, and he understood correctly what the dynamic was. But this is the enigma of devotional service, that the devotee acts as a beggar, and it increases his glory and his distinction and his dignity. So this is the contradiction in devotional service. And here we have who else but the Lord himself coming as a beggar, begging from Bali Maharaj, who is one of the daichas, who's an asura, who's a demon. And the Lord is coming to beg 3 steps of land. And the Lord doesn't simply beg, but just like a beggar, like in Vrindavan, if we're walking, sometimes people will go, "Hare Krishna, Swamiji, Maharaj," and we'll be, "Hare Krishna," and they'll be like, "Hare Krishna." Yes. So before asking for the donation, generally beggars will say some sweet words, you know, what we call in America buttering someone up. So even in our Krishna consciousness, this is a Prabodhananda Saraswati also taught that this is how we preach. We say, "You're so wonderful, you're so intellectual, very beautiful, very cultured, so you please listen to the Mahaprabhu's philosophy." So this is, and also when we make life membership, we get donations, we go to people's homes and tell them how nice they are and their children and their family. So Vamanadev also does some buttering up to Bali Maharaj in a very unusual way. In this verse he's saying, "Actually, no one in your line, all the kings are so glorious, no one has ever refused a Brahmana." So you see, Vamanadev is setting up the donation, right? And then, amazingly, what he does next, he says, when delivering the earth from the Garbhodak sea, Lord Vishnu, when he incarnated as a boar, killed Hiranyaksha. So now he's bringing up Hiranyaksha, who's an ancestor of Bali Maharaj. And he says, this is Lord Vishnu speaking, "The fight was so severe, and the Lord killed Hiranyaksha with great difficulty. Later, the Lord thought about that fight and the uncommon prowess of Hiranyaksha, and then he felt himself victorious indeed." So the Lord is actually glorifying Hiranyaksha here. He's saying, "Your relative Hiranyaksha, actually it was an incredible fight. It was very difficult for Lord Vishnu." And afterwards, Lord Vishnu was thinking himself very successful that he had defeated Hiranyaksha. So Vamanadev is glorifying Hiranyaksha's prowess. And then he continues, and then he goes on to glorify Hiranyakashipu. He says, "And when Hiranyakashipu heard the news of his brothers being killed, with great anger he went to the residence of Vishnu, the killer of his brother, wanting to kill Lord Vishnu." So he's like telling the glorious story of Hiranyakasipu. Seeing Hiranyakasipu coming forward with a trident in his hand, like personified death, Lord Vishnu, the best of all mystics and knower of the progress of time, thought as follows. So now he's telling the pastime of Hiranyakasipu, how Hiranyakasipu is coming like death personified to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu, when he was seeing him attack, was thinking, wherever I go, Hiranyakasipu will follow me as death follows all living beings. Therefore, it is better for me to enter the core of his heart, for then, because of his power to see only externally, he will not see me. So Vamanadeva is explaining the lengths that Lord Vishnu had to go to escape the wonderful prowess of Hiranyakasipu. Lord Vamanadeva continued, O king of the demons, after Lord Vishnu made this decision, he entered the body of his enemy Hiranyakasipu, who was running after him with great force. And in a subtle body inconceivable to Hiranyakasipu, Lord Vishnu, who was in great anxiety, entered his body through his nostril and his breath. So Lord Vishnu was in great anxiety in this battle because of the greatness of Hiranyakasipu. Upon seeing that the residence of Lord Vishnu was empty, Hiranyakasipu began searching for Lord Vishnu everywhere. Angry at not seeing him, he screamed loudly and searched the entire universe, the higher planetary systems, and could not find him. Unable to see him, Hiranyakasipu said, I've searched the entire universe, but I could not find him. Certainly he must have gone to that place where no one returns. Hiranyakasipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger only because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance. So Vamanadeva, he's not criticizing Hiranyakasipu. He says other people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger only because of false ego and great influence of ignorance. So Lord Vamanadeva is so diplomatically preparing Bali Maharaj for this request of the donation. And he does it so nicely that Bali Maharaj says, tell me anything you want. You're just a young boy. 3 steps of land is not sufficient for you. Please, I'll give you an island. I'll give you anything you want. I'm very pleased with how you're speaking with me. And it's so funny because you would think that if you wanted 3 steps of land, perhaps you would take the form of a basketball player. So you have very long legs, right? Because how much you can have in 3 steps? Could you exist in 3 steps? Could you even lie down? But the Lord comes as a young dwarf. So his little legs, he's a dwarf, and he's young. So they're tiny little legs. So he's asking for 3 steps. But this is the wonderful nature of the Lord, that this does not reduce the glory of the Lord, that he's begging. This is the wonderful thing of Krishna, the wonderful thing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like we heard this morning, Janardan Maharaj was reading how that the name of the Lord is so powerful that it can eradicate more sin than you're capable of performing. Now, this is not the credit of us. This is to the credit of the name of Lord Krishna. This is the wonderful thing. The Lord is like a wonderful stone that gets thrown into a pond, and the ripples that affect the whole pond. The Lord, he purifies and touches everything and makes everything auspicious. And it is not to our credit. Just like Putana. Putana was a horrible Rakshasi. She killed children, and she came to kill Krishna. That was her intention, to come in the guise of a mother. When mother performs something wicked, then it is the worst thing, because the child is under the protection of the mother, and the child completely trusts the mother. When the mother does evil to the child, it is the most dangerous thing. Jai Shishi Gornitai, Krishna Balaram Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar. So Krishna, he in his excellence, he accepted that Putana is just wanting to feed me. That's really what's going on. That's the dynamic that's happening here. Is that yes, there may be so many things, but she wants to feed me. She's approaching me as a mother, so I'll accept her as that. So this is the excellence of the Lord, is that sometimes we understand that Krishna is the most powerful, and he's the greatest, and he's the Lord, and by his strength all the planets are moving. But actually, Krishna is not just wonderful because of his power, it's his character. Krishna has exceptional character. He's not just the strongest and the richest, he's the most wonderful, he's the most kind, he's the most humble, he's the most thoughtful, he's the most considerate. His nature is not affected by his majesty. And that is also something amazing. When we meet somebody with exceptional character, it's very striking. And that, as we practice Krishna consciousness, this is what gets disclosed to us more and more, Krishna's exceptional character. Not just his godness. It's not a default setting. It is a specific quality of the Lord. It is uniquely who he is, his own wonderful kindness, his integrity, his decency, his depth of character. And we see in these pastimes that this is explained, that the Lord does not have ego issues. The Lord has no self-esteem. So he doesn't mind. He'll come as a beggar for the glory of his devotee, Bali Maharaj. He doesn't mind. It doesn't perturb him. He has no issue. Krishna is so wonderful, he doesn't mind. He's not attached. Just like if we were the Supreme Person, I know if I was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and someone was building a temple in Gujarat and they said, yes, we want to, this is the temple where we remember when you ran away. I'd be like, well, maybe, do we really need a temple of that? Could we just skip that? But Krishna doesn't mind. He's glorified as someone who runs away. He ran away from the fight, like a chicken, as we say in America. He ran away. And Kalyavana was like, come back! Come back! You can imagine that bhav. Krishna gives the demons different opportunities to relish a certain bhav. So imagine if we're in the temple and Arnold Schwarzenegger is there, and you're like, hey! And he's like, and he runs, yeah, get back here! Come back here, and he's running, and you're running after him and saying, come, you chicken, stop, I want to fight. So it's a wonderful, Kalyavana had this wonderful bhav of like God running away scared, and he's running after him, and Krishna's looking behind him. So he doesn't mind. The Lord enjoys this pastime. It's no threat to the Lord. It's no threat to the Lord's ego. He's completely detached. He's enjoying that. Why not? And of course, Kalyavana, you know, he was so intoxicated with the fact that Krishna was running away from him, he lost his judgment. And he couldn't recognize that it wasn't Krishna taking rest on the floor in the cave. It was Muchakunda, and he gave him a kick. So, you know, that was the problem. He became so overwhelmed. He was thinking, this is awesome. Krishna's legendary. His power as a kshatriya, and he's scared of me. This is so good. But then he made a serious mistake. He got turned into ashes. He woke up the wrong Prabhu. So the Lord also becomes a hog. Also, if someone said, oh yes, Prabhu, we want to make that temple your hog incarnation, I'd be like, well, maybe could we just maybe skip that one too. But the Lord is a beautiful hog. He's the most wonderful hog. Gorgeous bristles and tusk. And that's his excellence. So this is the wonderful, unique feature of the Lord, is that his bigness does not interfere with his depth of character. We can all personally have an exchange with the Lord and personally experience his thoughtfulness, his kindness. Isn't it? We all, as devotees, we have moments where something happens where we see how Krishna's just specifically thinking of us in a very personal way. He's of us, and it's so touching. We're so touched when we have these experiences. And we think, oh, the God Krishna knows who I am, and he actually loves me. And what an amazing thing. I'm so tiny, I'm so infinitesimal, and Krishna knows me, and he's worried about me, and he thinks about me, and he's making arrangements about my comfort, my safety. It's such an overwhelming thing that Krishna is of such wonderful character. And then as we progress in Krishna consciousness, this becomes more revealed. The Lord's nature becomes more disclosed. How wonderful he really is. his exalted nature, his sweetness, and his particular unique love for us, the tiny, tiny little insignificant jiva. This is the wonderful. And then, what does Krishna want? What is Krishna's desire? Does he wish to become, initially when we come to Krishna consciousness and we engage in sadhana bhakti, there's a sense of becoming a servant of the Lord. We decorate our body with tilak and we meditate before we go on the altar, the bhuta shuddhi, that we're the eternal servant of our spiritual master. And that's very much there. But Krishna, what Krishna wants is he wants us to forget all that. No, you're not a servant. I would like to render service to you. That is Krishna's interest. He's not interested in accepting service. And the competition, we're like, no, forget it. I'm rendering service to you. And Krishna's looking for ways. No, please, I'm one who accepts. And the devotees are like, no, we're not. And that's the divine competition. Krishna wants to put us in a superior position. And we're like, you're the wonderful person. So that's amazing. That's what's going on in the spiritual world, the divine competition. Krishna doesn't want us to see him like that, and he's looking for ways to render service to us. So it's just inconceivable. It's something we have no experience of. Krishna's nature, his kindness, the depth of his character, just who he is just so wonderful. And the miracle also is that this is true for the Vaishnavas also. The Vaishnavas also uniquely are reservoirs of wonderful character, and they personify deep, deep qualities of, like the Lord, of compassion and mercy and sweetness and love. Srila Prabhupada, you see that in the early days, in 1967, Prabhupada had been working so hard to print a book. This was his life's mission, to print books on the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And so finally, in 67, the devotees managed, by hook or by crook, to print the first copy of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the first book in our young ISKCON movement. And a devotee came and gave it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was looking at it, and he was so happy. This was the first hardcover book that he'd printed in the Western world, collected and paid for and put together by his Western disciples. So Prabhupada was looking at this in his room in 26 Second Avenue, and one devotee came who had gone. One devotee who had left came to see Prabhupada. And he was having difficulty, and he was talking, and Prabhupada was preaching to him. And then the devotee got up to leave. He offered obeisances and went to leave. And Prabhupada said, "Hold on, come here." And then Prabhupada gave him his only copy of the teaching of Lord Chaitanya to this devotee, who left and did not come back, was not seen again. So who can understand the depth of Prabhupada's kindness, his compassion, such an act? And we see that Prabhupada's life is full of such beautiful moments of seeing of Prabhupada's nature, his selflessness, and his genuine love for the devotees. Not a formal thing, not an official love, because we're members of ISKCON and he's the founder of Acharya and that's what you're supposed to do. It's not like that. Prabhupada's love for the devotees is genuine and real. It's not an official love. And this we can see in Prabhupada's relationships, in his humility. You know the wonderful story? Prabhupada was in the airport in somewhere in America, and there was too many devotees in the waiting room. And Rupanuga Prabhu got on a chair and said, "All devotees of ISKCON, please leave the waiting room." And Prabhupada, without missing a beat, stood up and started to walk out. And Rupanuga said, "No, Prabhupada, no, you stay." But imagine, see, we get glimpses of someone's character in these spontaneous, candid moments. So Prabhupada just heard, "Devotees of ISKCON have to go now." And he got up. He's a devotee. He's just a member of ISKCON. So it's such a wonderful glimpse into Prabhupada, how he saw himself. You know, there was one wonderful story. You know, on YouTube, there are many memories of Prabhupada. And I would advise you that if you haven't had the opportunity to, there's hundreds of memories of devotees talking about their personal moments with Prabhupada. And some of them are so beautiful. They're so touching. They're really nourishing for our spiritual lives. They're very important to hear them. So one devotee, his name was Bhajahari. He's an old British devotee in London. And he said one time Prabhupada was at Bury Place and he was coming out of the temple and all the devotees were behind Prabhupada and they were chanting, you know, Jai Prabhupada, you know, big kirtan. But he ran ahead of Prabhupada to put Prabhupada's shoes on at the door. So he was bending down at Prabhupada's feet. Prabhupada was looking down at him with his back to the devotees. So the devotee finished the kirtan and he said, Srila Prabhupada, personification, Radharani's mercy, ki, jai. Radharani's mercy personified, ki. And devotees are going, jai. But this devotee said, Prabhupada was looking at him with his shoes put on, and Prabhupada said to him, Radharani's mercy putrefied. So, such an amazing glimpse of Prabhupada's humility. He was just not accepting that glorification. He was just not owning it. When certainly, who most deserves that honor? Who is the personification of Srimati Radharani's mercy? But Prabhupada was just like not accepting it. So, we see that the devotee can be a beggar, a devotee can be a servant. Just sometimes people, like sometimes in India, devotees may resist certain... In India, it's very interesting. You have different kinds of devotees, different types of people for different services, you know? But there's that story in Gorakhpur where Malati was washing the floor and Prabhupada was like, no, this is not how you wash the floor. I will show you how to wash the floor. And Prabhupada got the two buckets and the oil and the cloth and he got down on his hands and knees and showed her how to clean it up. So Prabhupada was also the floor cleaner. Achyutananda, who an early disciple of Prabhupada, he was in America recently and I was able to spend some time with him. So he was saying that at one point that he, Jadarani, and Prabhupada were sharing the same towel. There was only a few towels in 26 Second Avenue. So he said there was one towel that was used by Prabhupada, Jadarani, and him. And then he said, they were sitting down. Prabhupada would cook and he would clean and he sat the devotees down and he said that, all right, now we're going to, everyone is going to volunteer to clean one day a week. So who will do Monday? And one devotee put up his hand. And then he said, and who will do Tuesday? And then one devotee put up his hand. Then Prabhupada said, Wednesday? And then Prabhupada put up his hand. He said, I'll do Wednesday. And then Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. So this is the wonderful thing, that the Lord and his devotee can perform any activity and that it does not reduce the glory of the Lord or his devotee. The devotee can do anything and the Lord can do anything also. And ultimately, what is at the heart of this Leela of Lord Vamanadev? Why has he come? Because he needs three steps of land? Is it because he needs the universe? No, because Bali Maharaj was very dear to him. He was a favorite of the Lord because he was a descendant of Prahlad Maharaj. And the Lord knew that Bali Maharaj was a great devotee. The Lord knew in his heart that he was a lover of the Lord. And he came to deliver Bali Maharaj. So this is an amazing thing. Bali Maharaj had chased out Indra. And it had Amaravati, had the gardens and the palaces of Indra. And he'd conquered everything. And he had great armies of dedicated asuras, very powerful. But the Lord knew that this is my devotee. This is my devotee, and I'm going to deliver him. I'm coming to get him. So Bali Maharaj came as a young dwarf to beg from him because he wanted his bhakti, his devotion. And then it's so nice, the pastime, how it unfolds, how he says, he takes the two steps and says, now you've cheated me. You're under arrest. You didn't give me what you promised. And then Bali Maharaj is so, his head is hung down and everyone is like, this is not a good situation. But then ultimately he says, you put that step on my head. He surrenders to the Lord. And then what happens? He gets everything. He gets the love of the Lord, and the Lord says that You will have everything that you desired. You will have a greater kingdom, and I will always be with you. I will never leave you. And in the end, you will come to me. So how wonderful. Did he lose? Right? So all of us, we have to see, what is the significance? Bhagavatam is for us. Bhagavatam was spoken at the end of Dwarpa Yuga to Maharaj Parikshit. And who is it for? We know that the Kali came right after the composition of the Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is for who? Bhagavatam is for us. Bhagavatam is for followers of Lord Chaitanya. This is the purpose of Bhagavatam. It is a Gaudiya scripture. It is for us. It is what Lord Chaitanya loved, and the Narottam Thakur and all the great acharyas said, reading Bhagavatam is my nectar, it's my happiness. That's my daily fun. So this is, we have to study Bhagavatam and look at the Gaudiya Siddhanta. What is being taught here? What it, for us specifically as followers of Lord Chaitanya, what is the message? So we see many things are there, but how the devotee is put in a family of demons, in a very demonic situation. He's not just a demon, but he's a successful demon. We know in the material world there are demons, but successful demons, they're really hard to deal with. They can be really arrogant. And then Bali Maharaj was a successful asura, but still, he was a devotee, a great devotee of Krishna. And the Lord knew this and came for him and pulled him out of that situation. So we see devotees are placed everywhere. We can be in an unfortunate situation. Prabhupada said, our background, all black. devotees were saying, Prabhupada, what have we done to become members of ISKCON? Prabhupada said, your background, all black. Of course, especially for us Westerners, those taking birth in Bharatbhumi, you're the exception. It is not the case. For us fallen Westerners, yes, it is indeed black. But for you, this is not including you, your good selves. So this is a wonderful thing that the demon can be placed, the devotee can be placed within the demons. And this is what we see in the Hare Krishna movement. Devotees are everywhere. We see devotees from all over the world. It's so wonderful. They're from Mongolia or China, from France, from America, from Canada, from Africa, from Australia. Krishna's put all his little devotee children all over the world for them to wake up and to unite and serve and spread ISKCON. So it's such a wonderful thing. The love of the Lord is revealed in this Leela, how he comes for Bali Maharaj as a beggar because he's come for his devotee. The way that Lord, that we cannot judge the background of someone, their caste, their creed, their nation, what kind of devotee they are. What else? What else do we learn from this Leela as devotees, followers of Lord Chaitanya? What else do we see from this pastime of Vamanadev? What else can we learn? Humble, humility. Why? Why do we learn humility? Yes, because he's begging. He's coming and begging. Yes, so humility. If Krishna can beg, then we can also beg. Right? For the life membership devotees and collectors, it's a good meditation that it's like begging is a glorious occupation. Krishna himself also asks for a donation. And he says very nice things beforehand to get the donation. So we can learn it's okay. Something else? Something else we learn?
Surrender.
So how do we learn surrender? Yes. Yes. So Prabhuji is saying that ultimately we receive everything through surrender. Even his guru was cautioning him, do not give this. This is Vishnu. You see, Sukracharya, he'd worked very hard. He and Brahmins descended from Bhrigu had actually empowered Bali Maharaj to win. And Sukracharya is like, we've gone to so much trouble to install you, and you're going to give the whole thing away? I will curse you if you do this. And Bali Maharaj has said, look, I'm sorry. I cannot. I'm a Kshatriya. My dynasty has always given in charity. I will go to hell. I will lose everything. This even could be the biggest mistake I've ever made. I don't care. I will give in charity what this Brahmin is asking me. He knew. But that was the glorious quality that he said, no, I'm surrendering everything.
And what did he get? He got everything. He got the love of the Lord and opulence and fame and everything. No loss. So thank you for sharing. And I just wanted to, before class ends, talk a little about the Sacred Appearance Day of Srila Jiva Goswami today. And we all know many of the Leela, but I was thinking that, of course, we glorify Prabhupada always, somehow it always becomes very relevant, but I was thinking about Prabhupada and Jiva Goswami. There's many, many similarities. You know that Jiva Goswami was so wonderful. He was the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan. There were three brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, and a brother, Anupam, and Anupam had the son. So he was like a son to Rupa and Sanatan, and they were very affectionate to him. And Jiva would massage them and clean for them and cook for them and personally take care of them, and like a menial servant. But he had received this benediction that Jiva Goswami's scholarship was unparalleled. His genius and his erudition was unparalleled. In fact, the acharyas say that there was no one like Jiva Goswami, nor will there be anyone in the future. And he was enthusiastic, passionate to defeat Mayavad and to protect the devotees. Actually, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, when he talks about Jiva Goswami, he talks about the Leela where Jiva Goswami defeats Vallabhacharya, who had some criticism of Rupa's writings. And actually, Gaur Govinda Maharaj says that anyone who, this is a misunderstanding, that you think this is some anarta on the part of Jiva. He says this is the glory. He goes that the disciple must defend the spiritual master because this is the glory of Jiva Goswami. Anyone who says that this is an anarta or a mistake, he says this is a great offense. And he talks wonderfully about the nature of Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami, he composed the Sat Sandarbha, and if you have an opportunity, once again on Sri YouTube, there's a beautiful video of Radhika Raman. You know Radhika Raman, the devotee from America who got the PhD in Oxford, and now he's a professor in America? He did his PhD in the Sat Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami and Sanskrit. So there's some seminars at ISKCON of Silicon Valley, where he spends a number of hours. It's like 3 2-hour seminars where he gives a talk on his book that he published just recently on the Sat Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami. It's really amazing. I highly recommend everyone take some time and listen to it. But one point he makes is that Jiva Goswami was vociferously against Mayavad philosophy. He studied Mayavad commentary, the Bhasyas of Shankaracharya, just so he could destroy Mayavad philosophy. So this is like our Prabhupada. Prabhupada was not neutral to Mayavad. He was enthusiastic to smash it and engaged his senses and his intelligence in composing literature, destroying Mayavad philosophy with great erudition. So that this is like a Jiva Goswami. He had the same nature, that he was brilliantly gifted and he used it to propound the glory of Krishna and love of Krishna and the devotees. So it's very interesting, you know, when he was banned from, when Rupa and Sanatan were performing the Leela of being upset with him, it is said that he was temporarily living in a crocodile hole near Mathura. So any devotees who are having perhaps difficulty finding accommodation, I've not seen any crocodile holes, but perhaps, you know, that could be an option. That is what they say of Jiva Goswami. He spent some time in a crocodile hole near Mathura by the Yamuna. So thank you very much for your kind attention. If anyone would like to ask a question or make a comment before we wind up. Sri Pancha Goda Prabhu.
Lord Lama Day, special day today. I was speaking to my son this morning. I said, so, you know, today is the day of Lord Lama's appearance day. And I said, you know, Lord Lama, of course I know. What can you do? He said, well, he had 3 steps of time. Bali Maharaj, waiting for his last step. On his head, of course. So, in the group, they all hear about the glory of Lama Day, you know, many years. way. So you're talking about the war,
Yes. Yes, that's very interesting. That the very nature of the pastime, because it's so unusual, that it just, you retain it. It's like unforgettable, you know, unique. Kind of like my mother with the Alzheimer's, right?
Tell the story.
So I was sharing, we're talking about the pastimes of the Lord and their unique nature. So while Prabhu is asking, I'll tell a personal story. We were talking over Prashadam yesterday. So let me share this with you. So I grew up in Toronto in Canada. And my mother is quite elderly, and she's got dementia. She's basically lost her mind. She has no memory of who she is. She does not remember my father, which is amazing because she was a very devoted and chaste wife, only knew my father her whole life. And she doesn't recognize my brothers, she thinks we're her brothers, has no recollection of anything. So I went with my brother, I went to Toronto to see her in the home that she's staying in. She's in what they call the lockdown ward. It's very nice, but they have the doors locked so that they don't go wandering. Sometimes people with this condition, they go for walks, you know, and they get lost. So we were sitting there, and of course I'm always trying to inject my dear mother some Krishna consciousness, so I gave her some Maha Burfi from the temple. And I said, Mama, you know, remember Hare Krishna? I'm a Hare Krishna. And she goes, yes, of course. She's Irish, so she speaks with an, yes, of course. Of course we remember you went down to Avenue Road and joined the temple, and we went down and talked to Bhakti Marg Swami at the temple. She started talking about all these things about my becoming a devotee. And my brother was completely shocked. We went out of the room. He goes, what happened? He goes, how is that possible? She doesn't know anything, but somehow or other, the Lord let her keep her memories of her devotee son and Krishna and ISKCON and of Maharaj and the devotees. So it's really quite amazing. And my brother, he was shocked. He was a witness to it. He goes, this is unexplainable. I can't explain this. So Krishna is so kind that he allowed my mother to keep those memories. He didn't take those from her. In the same way, he appears in so many wonderful ways that he forces himself in our minds so we remember him and become purified. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Jiva Goswami. All glories to Lord Vamanadev. And all glories to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Is this part of the deal?
Yeah.